your Holy Spirit gives me the words to speak to your people, both that are here, both that are listening over the internet. And Father, I thank you for knowing that your word will land on the fertile soil of their hearts, that you've already prepared their ears to hear. Father, you prepared my heart. But Father, unless you speak through me, it's just words. But Lord, I want these words to be spiritual life to my brothers and sisters. So Father, I thank you for your anointing. And I give you all the praise and all the glory. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday night I taught on chewing your food. And I said that at the end of last year, the Lord gave me two things that he spoke to my heart. One was to meditate on God's word. And today is the second part of what he told me. He goes, I want you to know me more than you know me now. And you know, that starts with meditating on his word, as I discussed Wednesday night, because we're so quick to just rush through. You know, we got our daily devotions, we got this, we just rush through. We don't really chew on what God wants us to meditate on. And how he had taken me back to the book by Madame Guyon, Experience the Inner Depths of Jesus Christ. If you've never read that book, I'd suggest you read it, because the Lord taught her something very valuable about chewing and meditating on God's word and how it dramatically changed your life. But this morning I want to take a look at knowing him. And the Lord always takes me back to this book by Keith and Trader, Covenant Relationships. Because we have to understand one thing about God. Okay? First of all, he's our Father. Jesus is his Son. But he says something in this book. It says, where does the meaning of life come from? What is the goal of our existence here on earth? For the believer in Jesus, the meaning of life stems from our relationship with God and Jesus. We must remember as well that a relationship between God as a Father and Jesus as a Son preceded our relationship with Him. Then he goes on and he says, in this sense, we can understand the term God as relational. It is easier to see this concept with the word father. A father cannot be defined alone. To be a father is to be the father of someone. Father implies relationship. Fatherhood cannot be in and of itself. The scriptures throughout unfold God's central nature as that as a father. See, from the time of his creation, he had a purpose for you and I. And that was to have a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, as Christians, we set all kinds of goals. And the Lord said, what's your number one goal, Larry? And I gave him all these lists. He goes, those are all good. That's not your number one goal. Your number one goal is to know me. That's your number one goal, is to know me. And then he took me, and I'm going to start with the worst, and then we're going to go to the best. Because there's things going on in the world today, there's things going on in the church today that are not pleasing to the Father. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. These passages of Scripture are very hard to read, no matter how long you've been saved. Starting in verse 21. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Those are very humbling words. Because who's he talking to here? He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to people who knew him that actually said, Lord, Lord. You know, and in the church world today, people say, Jesus is my Lord. Well, do you know him? Do you know him? Because, see, there's another gospel that's being preached today. There's another gospel that ignores something very foundational. Turn back, stay in Matthew, and go back to chapter 4. Verse 17. The first message Jesus preached. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance isn't being preached anymore. Just come to Jesus. Just repeat after me. That's not here. Because then, look what he says in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He tells those same people, take up your cross and follow me. See, to be able to know Jesus, we have to be born again. Number two, we have to repent of our sins. And number three, we have to take up our cross. And that cross that Jesus took up led to death. But out of that death came resurrection life. Now, I'm saying this because sometimes we need to be shaken a little because we get complacent as believers in the Lord. We go through rituals. We go through routines. But see, if we're going to know someone, they're not a casual acquaintance. They're not someone we casually speak to when we feel like it or we need them. But yet we do that. Because see, this was the heart of Jesus. Go to John chapter 17. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That eliminates a lot of things right there. That they may know thee, the only true God. There's only one God. There's only one way to God. There's not many ways to God. There's only one God. And it says, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That scripture eliminates a lot of false truths that are being preached today. Because Jesus is the only truth. But see, this is the Father's heart, that we might know thee. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to know Him so intimately that we are constantly communicating with Him 24/7. But we're not there. I'm not there. See, it's God's desire that we have a relationship with His Son. But relationships, if I say I want to have a closer relationship with anyone, okay? Is it just going to happen? No. Relationships are developed. Relationships are cultivated. It takes work on my end to develop relationship. It's no different than getting to know God. We have to develop a relationship. Now, who comes to mind when you think of starting a relationship with Jesus that was a very sudden turn about change in someone's life? Paul. Okay? Where was Paul? Paul was on a road to Damascus. And he had an encounter, didn't he? And when he had that encounter, his relationship began. But what was the first two words that he said? Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Let's look at it. Let's pick it up in verse 4. And he says, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. See, the first thing he said was, Lord. That verse that we read in Matthew, Lord, Lord. You know, it's easy for that to come out. But there was a transformation that took place after Paul said this. There was a repentance that took place after Paul said that. There was a change of heart. There was a change of direction. There was a change of life that occurred in Paul after that encounter. Think back when you got saved. Because here's what I always remember Pastor Bill saying. And I thought about it when I read that passage in Matthew. And I wrote it down. He says, Depart from me, for I never knew you. I said, Why? Number one, they weren't really saved. Number two, they not truly repented. And number three, they received another gospel and thought they were okay. But I always remember Pastor Bill making this statement. I never understood it, but it's becoming so, so clear. You know, there's a lot of things that Pastor Bill has said. There's a lot of things that David Wilkerson, there's a lot of things that great men of God have said years ago that when you go back and listen to them, you're starting to see prophetic voices that were being spoken. And one of the things that Pastor Bill said is, they're not really saved. And he goes, there's two types of Christians. Those who are saved and those who are really saved. And there's a lot of that going on. But see, God is wanting us to be different. God is wanting us to know Him. Now, we just looked at Paul. Okay? Was it important for Paul to know Jesus Christ? Well, let me go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. What does Paul say? For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was Paul's heart. His heart was not to know anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, it's easy to say, oh, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. But Jesus crucified? Uh-oh. We don't like that part. Because that means death to self. That means a dying to self. But he was determined. See, are you determined, brothers and sisters, to know Him? Are you determined to want to know Him and Christ crucified? Is that your ultimate goal, is to know Him? Or is it just to make it to heaven? I don't want to just make it to heaven. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Now, go over to Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul again. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What was his goal? His goal was to know Jesus. And see, here's what follows after that. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection. Stop and think about the power of His resurrection. What did the resurrection power produce? It produced the destroying of all the works of Satan. It destroyed every bit of sin. It caused you and I to be able to have life and to have it more abundantly. Out of that death came resurrection, life. It was life. And then he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. When was the last time you got up and said, Lord, I just pray for the fellowship of your sufferings today? But you know what? If we really want to know him, we're going to experience the fellowship of his sufferings. It's not going to be an easy walk. It's not going to be everything's, you know, blessings here, blessings there. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have testings. As a Christian, let me ask you something. Have you ever felt like God has abandoned you? That you're all by yourself? That you're on a desert island and no one else is around. You ever felt that way? Did you ever ask God why? He's not abandoned you. He's just withdrawn His presence so that you will seek Him and desire to know Him and to know what He's wanting to teach you in that situation and circumstance. That's all He's doing. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He just pulled back His presence. That's all He's doing. Because He's wanting you to seek Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your being. But see, we sometimes get in those situations and it's like, poor pitiful me. How can we ever say poor pitiful me when we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God? It's mind-boggling that we can say that. I'm going to ask you a question. Same question you asked me. Do we settle for the occasional encounters with Jesus? No, we shouldn't. We should not be settling for occasional encounters of Jesus. Jesus should be 24/7. We should be communicating. Because see, prayer is not a position. It's not down on one knee. It's not with our hands folded. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is communicating and talking with the Lord. We can do that on the job. We can do that driving in the car. We can do that in a grocery store. That's what getting to know Jesus is. We're constantly talking to Him. He's constantly talking to us. We're constantly being still and listening. As Pastor Mark said, that's why He gave us two ears and one mouth, to listen twice as much as we speak. Now, I want you to think back when you were dating. For Tiffany, this is pretty close. Okay? When people are dating, there is usually one who pursues and one who is being pursued. Okay? In our relationship with Jesus, who is the pursuer? Pursuer. Should be you and I. And Jesus is the one we're pursuing after. Pursuing after. Now, I wrote down a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There might be more by the time I get done. Pursue. I just began to meditate on the word pursue. What do you want us to pursue after? We know we're supposed to pursue after Jesus, but why are we supposed to pursue after Jesus? This is the first thing I wrote down. And I'm going to ask you this question. Do you pursue after Jesus with your maximum or minimum effort? Do you do just enough to feel like I'm still a Christian? Or are you sold out? See, we do not ever want to settle for the minimum that God has for us. The enemy wants us to settle for the minimum, but God wants us to go and pursue after all that He has for you and I. And the more we pursue Him, the more we go after Him, the more we will know Him. Because He's in the maximum. Do you pursue after the Lord to hear His voice more clearly? Does the Word not say, I know my sheep, I know their name, and they know my voice? Isn't that what it says in John 10? Okay. So, if He knows your name, and He knows, and you know His voice, can we cultivate a better hearing and a better relationship with Him because of that? We should be able to. But if I call Joan once a year, and Joan picks up the phone, and she hasn't heard from me in a year, she's probably going to say, who's this? She says, Nab, I appreciate that. Because we give each other a hard time all the time, so she knows my voice and I know hers. But to cultivate knowing someone's voice, the more you hear it, the more you know it. And the times in which we're living, we need to be pursuing after knowing the voice of God Almighty and that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, because there are many voices out there today that are not speaking the truth, that are contrary to God's Word. What is it about God's voice that we need to know? Number one, God's voice always lines up with His Word. If God is speaking something to you, He will usually confirm it in His Word. And here's the other thing that always bugged me. And it's still going on today. Is these people who consider themselves prophets. And they come walking up and they go, Karen, I have a word for you from God. Well, here's my first question to that person. Oh, really? The Jesus I know, the God I know, is a very personal God. He knows my name and I know His voice. So why would He go to you to speak something He can speak directly to me? Something's out of order here. If He's going to speak something to me, He will speak it directly to me, and He may use Karen to confirm it. But it's not going to be the other way around. And people get deceived all the time because this person's spiritual. I don't care how spiritual they are. The Bible says test every spirit. Because they can appear spiritual, but God, why would God say test every spirit? Because He doesn't want us to be deceived. And when we get to know Him and we meditate on His Word and we know what His Word says, all of a sudden, red flag, let's go back to this. No, that's not of God. See, that's how God protects us, because we know Him. We know His nature. We know His heart. We know how He deals with us in a relationship. He doesn't go to the third party to get to you. He comes directly to you. I wrote down, any authentic message from God will always line up with God's Word. That's why we need to meditate, we need to study, and we need to know what God's Word says. Because as we meditate and study on God's Word, we are getting to know His nature, we're getting to know His heart, we're getting to know what He thinks. And Pastor Bill said one time, talking about casting out devils, he'd read a couple books and the Lord said, put them down. He goes, Go to my word. If Jesus did it, you do it. Do it. If Jesus didn't do it, you don't do it. That was it. No steps, nothing. Just, if Jesus did it, you do it. If Jesus didn't do it, you don't do it. Well, you know what? It's no different in our walk with anything else. Okay, this one we're not going to like. Pursue more of his death in your life. First of all, we as humans don't even like to talk about death. Okay? But when it comes to death of ourself, we really struggle with that one. But I want you to understand something. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Even Jesus, the Son of God, learned obedience by the things he suffered. We get to know him, and we get to become more obedient by the things we suffer. Thank you, Lord. Go back to John 14. I got to read this. I almost forgot it. John chapter 14. Verse 20. And it says, and I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Didn't he say that in John 17? In verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's going to manifest himself to you because you love him and because the Father loves Jesus and Jesus loves the Father and we are one in the Father and the Son. He begins to manifest himself to us. We begin to know him. We begin to take on his nature. We begin to take on his character. All because of what Jesus did. Why does Jesus want us to die to self? Because he wants our desires to be yielded to his desires. So that we can experience more of him. That's what it's about. Yielding our desires, yielding our feelings, yielding our plans, yielding our purposes, so that we can experience what God has for us and we get to be in his presence. You know, when you're communicating with someone and you're developing a relationship, the more you talk to them, let me rephrase this. Do you develop a stronger relationship with someone by doing all the talking? No. you usually, in order to develop a relationship between two people, one person talks, the other person listens. But if you really want to get to know someone, you have to ask questions. You have to ask questions. That's why when I taught on Wednesday night about meditating on chewing on God's Word, when we begin to meditate on God's Word, an example I gave was the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. When you just begin to meditate on Our Father and don't move, don't go any further on that passage, and just begin to meditate on it and chew on it, the Father begins to reveal more about those two words, Our Father. But as we're meditating on that words, on those words, we begin to ask questions. And guess what? That's what God Almighty and Jesus wants us to do in order to get to know Him more, is to ask questions. Because He begins to answer us. He begins to talk to us. He begins to speak to us. He begins to show us in His Word, with examples, with dreams. He makes Himself more real. Why? Because now we're truly communicating with Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's true communication. Talking, listening, asking questions. You know, if you're reading or studying God's Word and you don't ask questions, you're missing it. You're missing it. Because there's so much that God will show you when you take and read a part of a scripture and you go, Lord, how does that apply to today? How does that apply to my life? And then for the next half hour to an hour, you're sitting there going, just writing stuff down. What's happening? You're getting to know Him more because He's revealing His heart and more about Himself just because you asked. So we need to ask. We need to ask. This is something I wrote down. God uses pressure, problems, pain, etc. I want you to think about what I'm about to say. As nails to pin you to the cross you're carrying. When we die to ourselves, we can experience God's power living through us. See, He just takes those things and just pins them. Just like His hands and His feet were pinned to that cross. He took it all. He took every bit of it. Why? So you and I could know Him. Not know about Him. There's a lot of people that know about Him. And then there's people that never even heard about Jesus, which is mind-boggling. But yet there are those people. That only means one thing. We as a church have not done a very good job of sharing Jesus. If there's people still out there that have not heard about Him. But there are. Now, here's another way you can get to know. You can get to know Him more personally. And that's sharing the gospel. Bearing fruit. How many of you have ever felt convicted about not properly sharing the gospel with people that run across your life? You ever felt convicted about that? Well, let me set you free this morning. Okay? Because there's a reason. And it's a real simple reason. I want you to go to John chapter 5. No, John chapter 15. My mistake. Because, see, it's good to pursue and want to bear more fruit. Because when you pursue to bear more fruit, you're going to get to know Him more. Because what's His heart? That none should perish. That all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the more hungry you are for bearing fruit, the more you're going to know God's heart. But we get convicted. Okay? Now, John 15, 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Kind of sounds like John 17, doesn't it? Why are they not bearing much fruit? Because they stopped abiding in the vine. They stopped the relationship with Jesus. They stopped looking to Him as their only source. They stopped looking to Him as the one who's setting up those divine connections. Because it says, for without me you can do nothing. With Him, all things are possible, right? So without Him, you can do nothing. So that means He's not being included. You're trying to do it on your own instead of abiding in Him. Abiding means you're in a relationship. You're trusting, you're leaning on, you're clinging to the one who has the answers for that person that you're trying to bring into the kingdom. You're trying to bear more fruit. And we get so bent out of shape. I struggled with that. I really did. And then I read that passage of Scripture and the Lord goes, just abide in me. It says, if you abide in me, didn't say you might bear fruit. Didn't say you might bear some fruit. It says you shall bear much fruit. Much fruit is a lot of fruit. And it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with you and I abiding in Him. Being stuck to the vine. Abiding in Him. So, we don't need to try harder, pray more, claim more territory for fruit to be produced. We need to abide in Him more. We need to know Him more. We need to look to Him more. And when we look to Him more and abide in Him more, we're going to bear much fruit. It's awful quiet. Go over to Revelation. We're good on time. Revelation chapter 2. The church at Ephesus. What was their problem? What was that, Pauline? Verse 4. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How many of us, and we all need to self-examine ourselves. You know, when you first got saved, there was a love that you had for God. I mean, you couldn't shut your mouth. You couldn't stop telling someone. You just had, there was, because you were just so full of God's love, you wanted to take that love and make sure someone else experienced it. Is that true? And then all of a sudden, it's not quite the same. And the Lord said, there's a reason for that. And it has to do with knowing me. They're not pursuing after my love. They've taken my love and just accepted it as something that's always there. And it is. His love, as Christine says, never fails. His love can melt the hardest heart. His love can do things in a person's life that you can't even imagine. God's love has the ability to love the unlovable. But yet, as the church at Ephesus, they left. What does it mean to leave? Did God take away it? Did God take away that love? God never takes away His love. But you and I have a free will, and we can take and turn and walk away from what God has for us. It says they left their first love. Didn't say anything about God taking away that first love. They left it. And see, we all have a desire to know Him. We all have a desire to want to know Him more. But we have to continue pursuing after and wanting to cultivate and develop that relationship more. If you think you've arrived today, you need prayer when I get done. Because I got saved in 1979 and I knew nothing about this book. And I went to a Bible study, been saved 2 weeks, and one of the guys sitting next to me, he says, here, let me help you. He had to show me where the books were. Because they were said, you know, go to Deuteronomy. I'm like, where's Deuteronomy? I had no clue. So I got saved in 1979. It's now 2018. And I've come to the conclusion, as much as I know nothing. I know nothing when it comes to this book. Because He's an infinite God. And this is a little finite brain trying to fully understand an infinite God. But we can know Him. We can know Him as He is. But we have to pursue after. As a deer pants after the water, so my soul pants after God. See, that has to be our heart's desire. And I guess this started working in me, that meditate and knowing God, when Brother Luther did that Wednesday night message. When he said, would you rather know what's in this book or the one who wrote this book? See, that's what God is saying to us this morning. He's pleading with you and me I want you to know me, the one who wrote this book. Why is that scriptural? Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So the more we chew this Word, the more it gets inside of us. And like I said Wednesday night, God is wanting us to know Him for one reason. Not so we can quote Scripture, not so we can impress one another with how much Scripture we have memorized. He wants this Word to be so real in your being and my being that it becomes the living Word. Ramos, not Logos. Because you know what? The world needs to see in this time in which we're living, it needs to see the living God. That God that's alive in you and me. That God that when we speak or we act, they're seeing this Word come to life. It's not something, because you know what? A lot of people, well, let me just read something. Go to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I had stuff written down, I forgot about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's a result of knowing Him. We now have the mind of Christ. We think like Christ. We talk like Christ. We act like Christ. We live like Christ. That is knowing. That's the living Word that the world is waiting to see. They haven't seen it the way God wants. And God is preparing a people. God is preparing a people that are going to hunger and thirst after knowing Him. And I was preparing for this yesterday, and my wife interrupted me. But it was a divine interruption, okay? It was a divine interruption. She says, "You need to listen to this." I said, "Okay." So I took a break. I listened to it. And it was a testimony about this guy. And he'd been orphaned and adopted and things that went on, and he got this dream, and in this dream, this person told him to meet him down by the shore or something at 4:30 in the morning. So he shows up 4:30 in the morning, and he doesn't see anyone there. And he hears this voice go, "I'm over here." And he looks out, and this person's in the water up to about here. He says, "Come on out here." And he says, as he walked out toward him, the man walked away from him. Until he got to the point that the only thing sticking out of the water was his head. And he said the man walked over to him and took his head and held it underneath the water. And he fought to get that breath. And then he went on to share the rest of his testimony. But see, the Lord had my wife share that with me because as I was watching this testimony, this is what the Lord spoke to me. When we want to know Jesus as much as we need to breathe, His presence will become very real. That man was underneath the water and he was fighting. He was fighting for that breath so he could stay alive. God has already breathed upon us. But if we have that desire to fight, Pastor Mark's been talking about faith. Scripture says, fight that good fight of faith. See, we need to know Him as much as we need to be able to take our next breath. That's how important He has to become. And you know what? Every one of us in here, if I were to put you underneath the water, you'd be fighting to get that next breath. And that's a picture I'm giving you because that's how He wants us to go after Him. That's how He wants us to pursue Him. That's how He wants to cultivate that relationship that He has for us so that we will know Him. Not about Him, know Him. And the world will know who we are because they will know and see the Father that lives within us. Amen? Okay, I want to play a song here. I think it's got the lyrics to go with it. If it does, you can stand up and make it a prayer.
In my soul, I want to know. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, and I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you more. Oh, I want to know you, to know.
Can we say amen to that? Stand to your feet. I want to close in a prayer. I want you to repeat with me. Heavenly Father, we desire to know you, to know more of you, to have your word living within us. Not something we just memorized. Not something we can just quoted. But it's living. We've experienced it. And we know the truth of it. And it's working in us to produce more of Jesus in every aspect of our life. Thank you for your resurrection life. Thank you for the death that takes place within this vessel. And out of that death comes life that we can share with a lost and dying world. Be thou glorified. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' name. Amen.